Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Scales Corporation Limited full year results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Welcome to Scales' full-year results announcement for the year ended 31 December 2023. With me is Steve Kennelly, our CFO, and Geoff Smith, our Chief Operations Officer. Earlier this morning, we lodged our results with NZX, including a slide pack that we'll base our comments on during this call. We'll run through the slides and then take questions. If you have prepared the questions after the call, we'll be available for the rest of the day. Respective an agenda, we'll go through the results and performance for 2023, then provide you with our current outlook for 2024. Moving on to a summary of last year's results. After a disruptive year, we're pleased to report a very commendable group performance with earnings at the top end of guidance. Underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders was $19 million and reported NPAT attributable to shareholders was $5.2 million. Our performance was underpinned by a strong global proteins result and also benefit from our strategy of diversification. Horticulture produced an admirable result despite the effects of Cyclone Gabrielle, and logistics successfully navigated lower volumes and troubles in key trade routes to deliver a solid result. Turning to slide six, as in previous years, we've highlighted a few of our key slides. I'll go into these in more detail throughout the presentation. However, I'd just like to recognise the hard work, effort and resilience by each member of the Scales team that's gone into producing these results. I'll now pass over to Steve to run through the financial results for the year.
Thanks, Andy. The table on slide eight summarises our group underlying and reported results. As Andy mentioned earlier, it was a testing year for the group, but our overall performance was positive, with underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders of $19 million, which was at the top end of our previously advised guidance range. Reported NPAT attributable to shareholders was of $5.2 million, was down on last year's $19.4 million. However, this year's result included goodwill impairment and asset write-downs at Mr. Apple of almost $11 million, which were primarily due to the impact of Cyclone Gabrielle and related market conditions. Underlying NPAT and EBITDA were also below last year at $38.4 million and $67.5 million respectively. Revenue was down 9% to $565.4 million on last year's record revenue. Slide 9 summarises our five-year performance graphs for underlying NPAT attributable to shareholders, underlying EBITDA and revenue. Slide 10 sets out our performance by division. Andy will elaborate later, but in summary, the expanded global proteins division produced a strong underlying EBITDA of $54.5 million. We received our first 4 years' contribution from Fayman and continued to invest in our two newer investments, Meteor Australia and Esro Pet Food. Horticulture produced a robust underlying EBITDA of $14.8 million, despite the effects of Cyclone Gabrielle. This was part due to higher in-market prices, which helped to offset lower volumes. We expect the effects of the cyclone to be largely limited to the 2023 apple season. There was also solid underlying EBITDA from logistics of $4.3 million, despite being impacted by lower produce volumes, as well as tensions in trade routes. Slide 11 shows the five-year underlying EBITDA trends for each of our divisions, noting that both Global Proteins and Logistics delivered record earnings in 2022. Our financial position is summarised on slide 12. Our movement in net cash mainly relates to dividend payments, including those to minority shareholders, CapEx, including cyclone-related CapEx, and investment into Fayman, Meteor Australia and Esro Pet Foods. The movement in working capital primarily reflects realignment of trade and other receivables, trade and other payables, and inventories, in line with more historic levels. I'll now hand back to Andy.
Thanks, Steve. Moving on to a more detailed look at global proteins, there were relatively small decreases in revenue and earnings compared to the last year's record results, with the division's profit margins remaining in line with last year. As Steve mentioned, this year's result included a full-year contribution from our edible proteins investment, Fayman, as well as the initial trading losses of Meateor Australia and Esro Pet Food. Pet food ingredient volumes also decreased compared to last year, primarily due to customers returning to lower pre-COVID inventory levels and also our transition in Australia. We anticipate that for some proteins, inventory rebalancing will continue into the first half of financial year for 2024. As you'll see from the table and graph on the right-hand side, we've incorporated the edible proteins volumes sold by Fayman as a separate data series. It's been a pleasing first full-year performance by Fayman, and we believe that as an edible protein exporter and distributor, it complements our pet food ingredients operations well. The next slide illustrates the overall growth trend for our pet food ingredients operations in terms of revenue and underlying EBITDA per kilogram. As you can see, there's been a significant upwards trend from 2019 onwards, with a 55% increase in revenue per kilogram and a 201% increase in underlying EBITDA per kilogram. The slight downward trend in EBITDA per kilogram this year can, in part, be attributable to the start-up losses of Meateor Australia and Esro Pet Food. There are a number of factors that have driven this trend, which we've summarised on the slide, including an increase in processed product, a change in product mix, and the introduction of blending and new product development at key US facilities. These factors have improved our product mix, increased our yields, and produced higher margins. This has been complemented by a continued performance in supply chain management, building on 20 years of excellent service for our customers. We thought we'd summarise the considerable strategic progress that has been made by Global Proteins in 2023. It's been a busy year for the division. The Meateor Australia plant was commissioned with its first sales being made in Q4, and the first processing line at Esro Pet Food was commissioned in Q4 also, with salmon and beef processing underway. Both these investments have seen as being extremely strategically important for the long term, and we'll be investigating other locations and opportunities for site optimisation through 2024. In addition, as mentioned in the previous slide, new blending capability has been introduced into Hastings and Dodge City facilities. Moving on to horticulture, it's fair to say that it was a difficult year for horticulture, with a number of challenges presented to the business. As previously mentioned, the horticulture division generated a very commendable result given the physical, financial and volumetric impacts of Cyclone Gabrielle. Unsurprisingly, volumes were lower, resulting in a decline in revenue and underlying EBITDA. However, margin remained in line with 2022. The focus on the supply of premium varieties to the Asian and Middle East markets continued, with Dazzle and Posy performing strongly. You'll have heard the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words, and I think you'll agree that this slide encapsulates that phrase. These are just a couple of the images that captures the condition of our orchards immediately following Cyclone Gabrielle. As you can see from the before photos, the land and trees were devastated, which was upsetting and distressing to everyone involved. However, as we reported earlier in the year, thankfully all our team members remained safe. Thanks to the incredibly hard work and tenacity of our horticulture team, together with support from local and national government, most of the orchards have been remediated. Only about 5% of the land that we've retained is yet to be replanted. In fact, if we didn't have photographic evidence, then when looking at the after photos, it would almost be hard to believe that the cyclone had such a devastating effect. Fortunately, the impact of Cyclone Gabrielle is expected to be largely limited to the 2023 season, with volumes and performance in 2024 anticipated to return to more normal levels. Slide 19 summarises horticulture's main KPIs. Mr Apple experienced a strong finish to the 2023 season, which was in part due to limited supply of fruit in key markets. This in turn contributed to higher in-market pricing and an overall increase in the weighted average pricing for both premium and traditional varieties. Sales were supported by targeted marketing activities across the Asia and Middle East regions, including in-store sampling, branded displays, increased digital and social media, and season launch events. Increasing in-market prices for our premium varieties such as Dazzle and Posy have reinforced our strategy to focus on these varieties. Development of these varieties was accelerated during 2023 following the cyclone, and we anticipate maintaining prices as plantings mature. Moving on to logistics, the division produced a steady result despite the impact of reduced volumes of produce and the need to navigate difficulties in trade, key trade routes. We expect some of these difficulties to remain in place during 2024. However, the division performed strongly, producing earnings that were in line with the results of 2019 and 2021. As we've mentioned previously, the strategic benefits that this division brings to the group can't solely be measured in KPIs, and it continues to be an extremely important part of Scales. Moving on to capital management. Rocky was affected by lower current year earnings, and it should also be noted that both Global Proteins and Logistics generated record results in 2022, which has in turn produced significantly higher Rocky percentages last year. Overall group Rocky was 10.8%, which is below our target of 12.5%. Horticulture accounted for the majority of CapEx, most of which was related to the remediation of the orchards post-cyclone Gabrielle. The main CapEx related to planting and regrafting, but it's also included tractor replacement and repairs to windmills, RSE accommodation and irrigation. Shelby has invested collection and processing plant at a supplier facility, further securing supply. Future investment will continue to be prioritised towards Global Proteins. Moving on to sustainability, we've continued on our sustainability journey this year, and we look forward to releasing our climate-related disclosure report in April. In the meantime, this slide summarises some of the initiatives undertaken in 2023. People continue to be on top of mind, being the lifeblood of our business. In addition to support given to employees post-cyclone, Mr. Apple has continued to make good progress on its people strategy with initiatives such as leadership programs and new digital systems. Our environmental programs included water and decarbonisation initiatives at Meteor New Zealand and Meteor Australia, and also water efficiency initiatives at Shelby and Mr. Apple. We look forward to providing some additional information in our annual report and more detail in our CRD report. Finally, I'd like to touch on our outlook for the financial year 2024. Overall, we have a positive outlook for 2024. We anticipate that Global Proteins will continue to perform strongly despite some further rebalancing of inventories amongst its pet food manufacturing customers, as mentioned earlier. Whilst Meteor Australia and Esro Pet Food made great progress in 2023, both these operations have some headway to make before they complete their startup phases. However, once completed, we believe there will be a number of exciting opportunities to be realised, and we're working closely with our partners on these. The horticulture season has commenced with the 2024 harvest in progress at Mr. Apple. Current volumes indications are in line with those previously noted at 3.4 million TCEs. There's strong initial demand from the Asia and Middle East markets, and their first shipment of Posy departed for China earlier this month. Taking above into account, we're pleased to reconfirm our previously advised guidance of underlying net profit after tax attributable to shareholders of between 30 to 35 million. Lastly, dividend payments are expected to be made in two instalments this year. The first instalment of 4.25 cents per share was paid in January this year, and we'll review and advise on the second instalment in early May 2024. Total dividend payments are expected to be between 50 and 75% of underlying net profit after tax attributable to shareholders. That ends our formal presentation today. However, please note that Appendix A of the slide pack provides additional financial information and reconciles underlying earnings to reported earnings for each of our divisions as well as the group. We're now happy to take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Matt Montgomery with Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Andy and Steve. I might just try and get into the destocking with customers and Global Proteins. I suppose you're reasonably clear on that. It's lingering at the moment in certain proteins. Are you able just to comment more on, I guess, how you see this phasing through the course of the year? What proteins it's concentrated in, and I guess what percentage of the business you think still has to go in terms of just rebalancing inventories, etc.?
Yeah, look, we're just anticipating it in these first few months of FY24, and really do think it'll be reverting to normal patterns from the half year on. So it's just that there was the COVID effect. People picked up a lot more pets. We're hearing the stats of people returning pets to shelters and those sort of things. So we feel that those trends are starting to return to more normal. In particular, the product is probably not specific to any one product. It's more about the overall trend. The positive side is that our main customers in their premium products are still growing strongly. So we're not sort of seeing it as a major issue.
Probably to add to that is, I think in the start of this year at least anyway, we've seen definitely seen customers pull into contract, which is a positive sign, so I think we can be cautiously optimistic.
Perfect, thank you. I might stick with proteins just on the margin front. Looks like a reasonable pullback in the half, which is probably expected to more normalised levels. Are you able to comment on, I guess, the drag of the Meateor plant and Esro, and if you see sort of the second half run rate as indicative as the base heading into 24?
We sort of see the last quarter of this year as, those two businesses hitting their, capacity would be what we'd hope to them to be, you're really starting to contribute. So it's probably just, the Melbourne plant is actually finished and operating, but it's just building up its volumes and getting those cost efficiencies in place. In Europe, the Esro plant is ongoing under construction, and it's going to we're seeing that opening 1 October this year, not opening but getting more operationally efficient. So, full year impact for those two businesses would be, in next year's results.
Thank you. And then I might just go on the horticulture side, just on your volume assumptions for the year. The 3.4 million looks sort of 20% below guidance that you set a few years ago when you set out the medium-term target. Can you just sort of talk through the basis of the volume assumptions? And if we, I guess, over the medium term, should still be thinking about that sort of low to mid 4 million number from a volume perspective in the hort business?
Yeah, look, I think the older varieties are really, battling in Europe, so we are pulling more of them out, the Braeburns and Pink Lady. So, we are in that process of redeveloping into the, continuing to redevelop into the Dazzle, particularly Dazzle and Posy. So, I sort of see the volumes probably not getting to the level that the prior targets, but, more of the premium apples should show the results being, overcompensating the loss in volume.
Perfect, thank you. I might just leave it there.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Christian Bell with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Andy and Steve. So if I could start on global proteins. Following on from previous questions, it sounds like you're cautiously optimistic, I think, as you described it, or quite comfortable around underlying demand for your product. But are you able to balancing the destocking that you're expecting to continue to see through 24 with, more plant coming online at the in the last quarter of this year. Are you expecting to return to growth in 24, or is it more likely to be flat to further decline?
Yeah, look, definitely more likely to come through in 2025, the growth, and it's really because of, yeah, that rebalancing being finished by, you know, half, you know, the, by June, say, and then there's, you know, Australia gets up and running again. You know, obviously it's replacing earnings we used to have, you know, we had in Australia previously, so we get back into full operational rhythm in Australia, and, you know, Esro Pet Food also kicks in. And that full year impact of those two businesses would be shown in 2025.
Are you able to sort of provide a clear picture on how to think about the growth group from here? So as you sort of described, we've got Meateor Australia and Esro coming on. What type of volumes do you have capacity for, and would you expecting to be due in 2025, all going well?
Well, we haven't sort of got down to the specific, you know, tonnage, you know, as a number, I suppose. If you add, you know, Meateor Australia and Esro Pet Food with the growth projects we're working on in the USA, you know, we would see reasonable growth coming from 2025 on. We've got a number of initiatives in the States as well that, you know, are going to be, you know, volume accretive in 25, and so, you know, pretty positive for, you know, post, you know, in addition to 2020, you know, growth on 2022 would be our target for 2025.
Growth on 2022 in terms of volume or like earnings?
All of the above.
Okay. The initiatives you're talking about, like, is that more volumes going to new customers or existing customers? Are you sort of expanding geographically? Like, how should we think about how you actually achieve that growth?
Yes, I would sort of see it being volume out of new initiatives. But also, and not so many, we're growing capacity to match the capacity that our customers are already putting in place. So, you know, our biggest customers are continuing to build new plants, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, our sort of goal is to help them fill those plants with the raw material they need.
So it's basically you're basically growing with your existing customers, which you've got reasonable kind of visibility over. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
But then also additionally, you know, obviously new customer base in Europe as well.
We'd also see fish becoming a more a species that's going to contribute more volume.
Okay. And so how should we think about the mix of volume? Because obviously quite a large contribution from edibles this year, which looks like a lower value product compared to pet food. So how should we think about the future volume mix? Is most of your growth coming from edibles or more pet food?
No, pet food. It'll be 2025 growth and just more species, match our customer, the demands from our customers, you know, matching that supply.
Okay, great.
We have an ability, I guess, to do, you know, do dial up and down volume, and particularly in America.
Awesome. This might be a question for Steve. I was just a little bit confused on the graph that you provided in your presentation on slide 15, showing your trajectory of revenue per kilo. Can you just explain it? It doesn't make sense, because if you divide your revenue by your total volumes this year, it's actually a decline in revenue per kilo. But on your chart, it's showing that it continues to go up. So, like, I couldn't reconcile how you actually get your numbers.
Yeah, so it's Jeff here. that graph only represents the pet food volume, so it doesn't include the edible part of our volume.
But if you take your $2.56 revenue per kilo and multiply it by pet food volumes, that's still more revenue than what you actually got for the year.
Yeah, so we've had to make it comparative for pet food, we've had to add back LP's revenue.
That meets your LP, which we don't, obviously, from an accounting point of view, we only include a share of Meteor LP's net profit before tax, so our reported revenue number doesn't include the revenue, but for the purposes of this graph, to illustrate things accurately, we've included Meteor LP's revenue.
And that's mainly because their volume's included, so it was only appropriate to include their revenue.
Okay, so this is a better sort of underlying sort of picture of
what's going on. If we hadn't done that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And sorry, just a couple of questions on horticulture. Can you just, like, for your expecting a recovery, normalisation of trading conditions in 2024, can you just elaborate on your assumptions on pricing in comparison to 2023? Because obviously you kind of, you participate in the sort of, well, took advantage of, you know, lower supply. So what are your assumptions for pricing in 2023, basically?
In 2024, so we're assuming that in-market pricing is back a bit on 23.
Okay. Well, when you say back a bit, what is it, negative 5%, 10%?
It'll be single figures, yep.
Okay, cool. And then I assume that you're sort of assuming a further cost normalisation this year from better access to labour and freight costs coming down and things like that. Is that kind of baked in there?
Freight's probably the best one. That, you know, it's coming down, but, you know, we've still got the hangover of, you know, the prior governments and, you know, forcing wage rate increases across the market. So that's been, you know, factored into our forecasting, but it's still disappointing.
Right, okay. Do you have an EBIT margin target? Yes. Do you have an EBIT margin that you're targeting anymore? Because you used to provide that, but you don't anymore.
Yeah. No. We're just looking at the overall forecast position.
We're going to do some more work on that during the year, sort of, you know, post the 2023 year impact.
Okay. But yeah. So like, it's probably pretty unlikely that we're getting anywhere close to 12.5% anytime soon.
We'd have to do some work on that before we could really make any sort of informed comment.
Okay, cool. And sorry, just one last question. For apples, your distribution into China, are you exploring any sort of new forms of distribution, such as like online to offline or anything like that?
Well, our apples go into those markets, but through people we sell to, so. You know, they're across all of the various avenues to the consumer. It's just that, you know, we're not doing it directly ourselves, but we're definitely selling to, you know, entities that are getting, you know, access to those markets. So, you know, talking about, you know, Mr. Apple get sold over the internet? Absolutely. I mean, we've got, I was over there, last year, and we went to, you know, a market that was, you know, auctioning on live our apples, and they were getting picked, you know, bought at, you know, at the auction, you know, online auction, and you know, distributed directly to that customer. But one of our, you know, customers in China was facilitating that.
Yeah, I guess the recent sort of economic challenges in China, what kind of pressure are you seeing on the products that you're selling? Are you feeling it, or
I think particularly if you're talking about our new, you know, Posy and Basil, we couldn't be more pleased that the demand those two varieties are showing. I mean, they're sort of a premium product that seems to look through the challenges the economy's having.
Okay, great. Okay, that's That's great. That was all my questions, so thank you.
Cheers.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Joshua Dale with Craigs Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Andy and Steve. Just starting with Global Proteins, the outlook for Shelby specifically, your guidance, particularly with regard to the back solving of minority interests would imply it slightly down for the year ahead. I mean, is that solely attributable to some impact from inventory rebalancing in FY24, or is there something else going on?
No, it's just definitely their inventory, you're rebalancing really. It's just, following our customers, trends. But again, later in the year, we're anticipating, that turning around and picking up.
Okay, great. And on Meateor New Zealand specifically, that had quite a soft year this year. FY23, I appreciate there's a rebalancing of lamb inventory going on and also, a lamb supply glut in Aussie that affected that. How do you expect that to play out in FY24?
Just, if you like, normalised, we sort of see it definitely being a transition year to get back to, those equilibriums where we go, the business performs better. So definitely would see that the volume and pricing stay normalised to the more traditional trends.
Okay. Do you expect Meateor New Zealand to post a stronger result over the coming 12 months versus what you've just delivered?
In 25 we would. We 24, I think, as Andy said, it's still going to be subject to rebalancing, given the majority of its sales are lamb.
Great. And just the last one from me on horticulture. You mentioned at one point after the cyclone that some trees had been flooded. They appeared to be okay, but there was possibly a lingering risk of the tree dying at a later date. Is that risk behind you now, do you think?
We think, pretty optimistic. I guess that's behind us. I mean, the trees look fantastic. You've got a good crop on them. So, it's just been amazing how, resilient they have been, actually, given the treatment they got.
Okay, that's great to hear. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Borland for any closing remarks.
Well, thanks very much for attending the call. Obviously we're available to take separate calls during the day. Thank you for your ongoing support and interest.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.